Today's scripture is from Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of God's praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. We went through the fire and through water, yet you have brought us to a spacious place. Come and hear, all you who are in awe of God, and I will tell you what God has done for me. I cried aloud to God and praised God with my tongue. If I had cherished trouble in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. God has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer or removed God's steadfast love from me.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, and he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees it nor knows it. But you know this Spirit because it abides with you and it will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning in our gospel passage, we are yet again in John, and we are also back with Jesus and his disciples when Jesus is still alive before his crucifixion and resurrection. But he's talking about something that will happen after he is crucified and resurrected, which is that he'll come to hang out with his disciples for a while. Tradition tells us it was about 40 days. And then he will ascend into heaven. He will go to be with God and will not be with the disciples in the same way that they knew him once. And so they don't really get it yet, but they are about to lose the version of Jesus they've loved and known, followed and learned from for 3 years. And after a short post-resurrection visit with them, Jesus says they know him will be gone and they will never see him again in the flesh, and it's going to be hard. Not seeing Jesus in the flesh is something that Christians have struggled with for millennia. The vast majority of us don't get to experience God in a physical form. This non-tangibleness can make God feel distant at best or absent at worst, because we are physical creatures who rely on touch and the comforting presence of others to help us connect and grieve and celebrate and even to survive. Physical touch reduces stress and anxiety. It lowers our heart rate and blood pressure, and it improves our immune system function. Not to mention that it bonds us socially and it boosts our confidence and releases chemicals that promote well-being. I don't know about you, but it seems like every conversation I have these days covers how hard it is to go without this gift of physical touch, how much we took it for granted. Whether we live alone and we have virtually no physical contact with others right now, or whether we're at home with family but can't connect physically with neighbors and distant loved ones, we are all feeling it. Valerie Sensabella, our moderator, dropped off a few weeks ago a care package, and I had to physically restrain myself from hugging her at the end of that visit because there was just so much joy and laughter between us, and it just felt so natural to say thank you and I'm glad to see you with a hug, and yet we couldn't. Remember that, Valerie? It was like magnets that you flipped the opposite way, and they're kind of like coming together but pushing each other apart, like, no, we were so close, but we stayed socially distant and we didn't do it. I realized from that moment and from so many other moments how much I usually say with hugs. Thank you. I'm sorry for your loss. I love you. I'm here with you. So many things that now we can only say in words. It's not the same. And beyond missing out on the physical touch of Jesus, along with the disciples, we also have to navigate connecting through an entirely spiritual presence instead of a physical one. Most of us have lost a loved one. Most of us who have lost loved ones can relate. Even if we believe with all our hearts that our loved one still exists in spirit, is still with us in some way, that's not the same either, is it? We often feel alone in a significant way, and more so if we lost a parental figure, one or especially both. You may remember that one of my favorite Instagram accounts is called Humans of New York. And it's a photographer called Brandon Stanton who takes pictures of people, usually on the streets of New York, and has a knack for getting them to talk about some significant moment or relationship in their lives. And of course, now during quarantine, he can't be out on the streets of New York stopping random strangers and getting them to talk and take pictures. And so he has been soliciting quarantine stories where people take their own picture and send them in to him to be shared on his blog and Instagram account. And it's kind of cool because they can often share multiple pictures about the people that they're talking about, the relationship they're talking about, that they wouldn't otherwise have with them if he stopped them on the street. So today I want to read one of those to you. And I'm going to, again, share the screen here so that you can see the pictures as I talk. Says, my mom died on the first day of school. She'd been really sick that entire summer, and she passed away on a Monday at 7 a.m., almost exactly the time I'd be leaving for school. I don't think I fully grasped how traumatic it was for me. I was there when she took her last breath. I comforted my little sister while she said goodbye. And the next week, I had to start classes at a brand new school. I was a junior in high school at the time. All the teachers knew what happened, and they had told all the students, so everyone was pitying me when I showed up. I met Alex that very first day. We were in choir together. We became friends almost immediately, but we didn't start dating until we were both cast as leads in Seussical, the musical. We became more serious during college, and we ended up getting married right after graduation. I felt so sad that my mom couldn't see any of it. Every time a big event would happen, it would be like, she's not here. And she's never going to be here. I was a moody, terrible teenager when she died, and I'm having this whole life where I become the person I'm supposed to be, and she doesn't get to see any of it. She's not going to see me graduate. She's not going to meet my children. And it especially sucks that she'll never get to meet Alex. I chose a story of a young woman who lost her parent because Jesus uses the word orphans to talk about how the disciples might feel when he leaves. While they call him rabbi or teacher or Lord or master, he refers to God as Father. And in the ancient world, and indeed, even in the Judaism of the time, deities were depicted as king more often than father, more a distant regal authority figure instead of a loving parent. So it would have been novel, even strange, to think of God as Jesus does, as the beloved parent who knows you better than anyone, in whom you confide your hopes and disappointments, in whom you have complete trust. Now, we may or may not have good relationships with our own fathers, but for Jesus, this was a positive association. He talks to God with intimate familiarity and consistently uses illustrations that depict God like a parent whose delight and joy in their children outweigh all the children's mistakes or misdeeds. Similarly to how we hear this woman talk about her mom and her mom's love for her. Scottish nonconformist preacher Alexander MacLaren, writing in the 19th century, says that Jesus has brought a God to our hearts whom we can love, a God before whom we do not need to crouch far off, a God whom we can trust. That's why Jesus calls God Father or Parent. That's the God that Jesus wants the disciples and us to know. That is why he tells them that he is in this beloved parent God and that his friends are in him and he is in them. That's the reason Jesus thinks of leaving the disciples alone in terms of orphaning them. And that is why he promises them an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with them forever, that they might always feel God's presence, Jesus's presence with them in a powerful, even tangible way. We lit a lantern at our wedding to signify that my mom was still with us. It was a beautiful ceremony, and afterwards we took our honeymoon in Hawaii. A few days into the trip, I received a call from my oldest friend, Meredith. She sounded excited. She just discovered a picture of our childhood soccer team, and there was a boy who looked just like Alex. When I showed Alex the photo, he confirmed that it was him. He played goalie on that team. I just started laughing. It was such a God moment. It was a moment when everything felt connected. Alex and I had known each other as children back when my mom was still alive. The first thing I did was call my dad. I asked him if he remembered anything about the Swans dermatology soccer team. I remember the goalie, he replied. During the games, he'd always sit down in the net and play with the dirt. And your mother thought it was hilarious. We may not ever see him, but I think this is how Jesus is with us in ways we may not realize at first, or even for many years, but that are powerful, transformative, healing, and real. This is a Jesus, a God who knows our inmost hurts and longings and dreams and is with us in them, giving us the deep blessing of our seeing us and touching, yes, touching our hearts. That Scottish commentator Alexander MacLaren argues that we have Jesus with us in an even more real way than the disciples did, though they knew him in the flesh. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we really believed, not as an article of our creed, which has become so familiar to us that it produces little impression upon us, he writes, but as a vital and ever-present conviction of our souls, that with us there was ever the real presence of the real Christ, how all burdens and cares would be lightened, how all perplexities would begin to smooth themselves out and be straightened, how all the force would be sucked out of temptations, and how sorrows and joys and all things would be changed in their aspect by that one conviction intensely realized and constantly with us. A present Christ is the strength, the righteousness, the peace, the joy, and in the most literal sense, the life of every Christian soul. May it be so. May we know that Christ and feel his presence with us. Amen. And now, go in peace with my gratitude for all of your flexibility and willingness to roll through a multitude of technical issues this morning. And go in peace, attentive, with eyes open and heart open for the ways that Jesus is with us, that the Spirit is with us, that God is holding us up and rooting us in God's love in this uncertain time. It might be a moment of relaxation and restoration as you walk outside in nature. It might be a phone call from a church friend or with a loved one. It might be just that feeling of peace in your heart when you're able to take a few breaths and leave behind the cares of our world. But be open to that, be looking for it, because it is there, friends, and it is what will carry us through. God has not left us orphaned. Praise be to God. Go in peace.